Imagine walking into a leasing office in Los Angeles right now. You earn over $200,000 a year. You have a pristine, 800 credit score.
Right, the absolute ideal tenant.
Exactly. You have zero derogatory marks on your financial record. You apply for a $4,000 a month apartment, hand over your paperwork, and you are just flat out denied.
It sounds completely absurd. I mean, you represent the top tier of financial responsibility, and the door is still just slammed in your face.
But that is a real scenario happening right now in 2026. Landlords in these highly desirable markets are turning away perfect on-paper applicants because, well, the traditional metrics of wealth and stability are just breaking down.
Yeah, they really are.
So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at why the traditional finish line of American wealth has basically vanished, and more importantly, where your money will actually survive once you stop working.
It's a terrifying question for a lot of people right now.
It really is. So for this deep dive, we're digging into a massive stack of economic data. We've got the latest cost of living indexes from C2ER and the BEA.
Which, by the way, is basically the gold standard researchers use to measure exactly how much, like a gallon of milk or a doctor's visit costs in one zip code versus another.
Exactly. We're also looking at Smart Assets 2025 salary study, plus some really intense documentary reporting on modern financial survival. Our mission today is to decode the true cost of living in 2026. We want to evaluate the best and worst states for retirees based on actual affordability and uncover those hidden traps that can just drain a fixed income.
And we really need to rethink what financial security looks like today, because you honestly cannot understand the immense pressure on someone entering retirement without first understanding how broken the math is for the people currently in their prime earning years.
Right.
The entire foundation has just shifted beneath us.
Yeah. If you have kids or grandkids in their late 20s or early 30s right now, you have probably seen this exact math play out at your kitchen table.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's look at the baseline. Back in 1990, the average 30-year-old was bringing in a household income of around $30,000 a year.
Which was solid back then.
It was. They carried maybe $5,000 in total debt, and housing was essentially this accessible door to building wealth. You saved a reasonable down payment, you opened the door, you walked in, and your net worth just grew.
But for a 30-year-old today, I mean, that door isn't just locked. It is a heavily guarded security checkpoint. Let's break down the actual math of what society considers a, quote unquote, successful young professional in 2026.
Let's do it.
So they land a job paying $85,000 a year. Historically, that's a fantastic salary.
Sounds like you've made it.
Right. But after federal taxes, state taxes, and those mandatory healthcare deductions, their actual take-home pay is roughly $5,800 a month.
Which, I mean, $5,800 sounds perfectly fine until you map out the baseline cost of merely existing in a modern city.
Exactly.
Between rent, utilities, groceries, a car payment, because, well, our infrastructure generally requires you to drive insurance, and out-of-pocket medical expenses, those basic living costs demand about $8,150 a month.
It's just wild.
And they are starting this journey with an average of $80,000 in student and consumer debt.
So before they even, buy a coffee or go out to dinner, they are operating at a structural deficit.
Yeah.
The math simply does not work.
It's like being on a treadmill where the incline keeps going up, but the scenery never changes.
That is the perfect way to put it. And that brings us back to that landlord in Los Angeles denying the high-earning couple. Why are landlords terrified?
Because the margins are gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because property taxes, insurance premiums, and maintenance costs are just skyrocketing. If a landlord accepts a tenant who eventually defaults, the eviction process in certain states is so incredibly costly and exhausting that it can wipe out years of profit.
So landlords are tightening their standards to a completely irrational degree just to eliminate any perceived risk.
Right. Your credit score isn't just a measure of whether you pay your bills on time anymore. It has morphed into this measure of your ability to obey the past.
Wow.
Just one minor scratch on your record,
Yeah.
like one delayed payment from 5 years ago,
Yeah.
and you are locked out of the housing market entirely.
And that reality creates such a terrifying scenario. Because if younger workers are struggling to survive on $85,000, if they are sweating just to stay on that accelerating treadmill, How terrifying is it for a retiree trying to navigate this exact same market on a fixed income?
It's suffocating. I mean, if that math is breaking the back of someone who can actively, you know, ask for a raise or switch careers or take on a side hustle, the pressure on a retiree is just immense.
The old dream of a carefree retirement where you just put your feet up and play golf is completely gone.
It really is. It's been replaced by a highly strategic, defensive game of survival.
Yeah.
You are stepping onto that exact same accelerating treadmill, but you no longer have the capacity to run faster. Your income is fixed, which means your margin for error is zero.
Zero margin for error, which leads us directly to the states that will absolutely drain those savings. The states that actively punish a fixed income.
The bottom five.
Yeah, the data on the bottom five states for retirees is brutal. We're looking at Hawaii at number 50, then California, Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey.
All the heavy hitters.
Right. Now, people often look at high-tax states like California or New Jersey as, like, exclusive VIP clubs. You pay a high cover charge, but you get access to great beaches or incredible city amenities.
Yeah, that's the standard pitch.
But looking at this data, I don't think that's the right way to visualize it at all.
How would you describe it?
It feels much more like a mandatory software subscription service, where the base product seems fine, but the hidden in-app purchases are astronomical and entirely non-negotiable.
Oh, I love that analogy. That is phenomenal, especially when we look at New Jersey, because, you know, the great American retirement dream is paying off your mortgage so your housing costs drop to zero, right?
You burn the mortgage papers and you're free.
But in New Jersey, that dream is a complete illusion. New Jersey has the highest effective property tax rate in the country at 2.23%.
So even if you proudly burn those mortgage papers, when you apply that 2.23% rate to their heavily inflated home values, you are staring down a median annual tax bill of over $9,500.
Every single year.
You don't actually own a home in New Jersey. You just rent it from the government forever for nearly 10 grand a year just to keep your own keys.
And that tax bill never stops adjusting upward.
Oh.
Never. Let's look at Hawaii, which ranks dead last for affordability.
Number 50.
Yeah. Their C2ER cost of living index is 185. So since the national average is 100, that means living in Hawaii is 85% more expensive than the baseline American experience.
That's staggering.
It requires over $141,000 a year just to maintain a standard, comfortable level of living.
Because it's an island chain in the middle of the Pacific. I mean,
correct.
Every single commodity from a gallon of gas to a box of cereal has to be shipped in via cargo freight.
Exactly. A modest two-bedroom condo there is running over $1.1 million.
Yeah, some of the documentary reporting we looked at literally described the reality of middle-class retirement in Hawaii as, quote, eating top ramen on a Tuesday.
It's so true. You don't retire in Hawaii unless you have immense generational wealth.
Yeah.
You vacation there aggressively, and then you go home.
Right.
It really boils down to this concept that economists call the value of $100. We tend to think a dollar is a dollar, right?
Right.
But your money physically changes its purchasing power the second you cross state lines.
How so?
Well, in Hawaii, a federal $100 bill only buys about $87 worth of actual goods compared to the national average.
Wow.
In California and New York, the dynamic is identical. The high incomes in these states are just an illusion if the money doesn't actually stretch. California's housing index is 200.1.
So double the national average.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Median homes are running around $809,000 to $900,000. It only works if your house is already paid off, and even then, taxes will get you. New York has the second highest cost of living index at 148.2. Massachusetts requires a staggering $313,000 a year for a family to live comfortably.
So if a $100 bill in Hawaii only acts like an $87 bill, and the mandatory subscription costs of New Jersey or Massachusetts bleed your savings dry, the logical move is to look at the absolute cheapest states in the country.
That's what a lot of people do. They pull out the map and find the lowest price tag.
But as the data shows, the cheapest price tag often hides the most dangerous trade-offs.
It really does. Let's look at the mathematically cheapest states. You've got Oklahoma, Mississippi, West Virginia, Alabama, and Arkansas.
Okay.
In Oklahoma, you only need about $66,000 a year to live comfortably. Mississippi has the absolute lowest cost of living index in the nation at 83.3.
And if you look at West Virginia, I mean, you can find a median home for just $169,000.
Sounds incredible.
It does. In Alabama, the median property tax bill is roughly $857 a year. Compare that to New Jersey's $9,500, and Alabama looks like an absolute financial paradise for a fixed income.
On a spreadsheet, sure, it looks like a brilliant move. But when you dig beneath that cheap price tag, you uncover a massive hidden tax on your health.
The healthcare trade-off.
Right. Why are property taxes so low in those states? Because there is a much smaller tax base funding local infrastructure. And the direct result of that is a rapidly decaying rural healthcare system.
This is where the strategy of just chasing the cheapest housing completely falls apart, doesn't it?
Completely. States like Mississippi and Alabama suffer from historically weak healthcare outcomes and severe hospital closures.
Because they just don't have the funding.
Exactly. A rural hospital relies on a mix of local funding and private insurance to keep its doors open. When the local economy is depressed, those hospitals simply shut down.
Wow.
You might secure that incredibly cheap $169,000 home in rural West Virginia, but if you have a heart attack, you are suddenly facing a two-hour drive to find a specialized cardiac facility.
And when you are in your 70s, a two-hour drive to a hospital isn't just an inconvenience. It is a fatal geographic flaw.
It's life or death.
Yeah.
Contrast that with those expensive VIP club states like Massachusetts or New York. They offer world-class elite hospital networks.
So it forces retirees into this agonizing binary choice. Do you choose the elite healthcare of Massachusetts and risk bleeding your life savings dry? Or do you choose the incredibly cheap housing of Mississippi and take a massive gamble on your physical health?
That's the trap. But there is a middle ground.
Well, wait, I'm looking at the data for the actual top five ranked states for retirement. And they aren't the absolute cheapest, nor are they the most expensive. The top spots are Wyoming at number one, followed by Montana, New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont.
Yep.
But hold on a second. If Vermont and New Hampshire are top retirement spots, aren't they actually pretty expensive? I mean, the New Hampshire median home is over $528,000. Vermont's cost index is 113.6. That contradicts everything we just established about avoiding high housing costs.
It looks like a contradiction, yeah. Until you separate the concept of cheapness from predictability or high value.
Okay, explain that.
Yes, buying a home in Vermont or New Hampshire requires significant upfront capital. Their cost indexes are above the national average. However, what you are buying is extreme stability.
Stability.
Right. Those states offer incredibly robust senior services, remarkably low crime rates, heavy community support, and insulated local economies.
Okay, I see where this is going. The biggest threat to a retiree isn't necessarily a high monthly mortgage payment, assuming they actually planned for it in their budget.
Exactly.
The biggest threat is an unexpected financial shock.
Precisely. Medical bankruptcy is what actually destroys a retirement.
Yeah.
Having to hire private, out-of-pocket home care because the state provides zero senior infrastructure, that is what destroys a retirement.
Right.
New Hampshire and Vermont are expensive, yes, but their costs are highly predictable. Retirement isn't just about finding the lowest possible sticker price. It is about avoiding sudden, catastrophic financial and medical surprises.
So it's about paying a premium up front for peace of mind on the back end.
Exactly.
But let's be realistic here.
Yeah.
Not everyone has $500,000 liquid to just drop on a cabin in New England.
Very true.
If you need to preserve your savings, but you absolutely cannot compromise on healthcare access, what is the actual playbook here? What's the actionable strategy?
The smartest actionable strategy for retirees right now is targeting what we call regional hubs. You don't need to live in downtown Boston to access a good doctor, and you shouldn't isolate yourself in a cabin 3 hours from civilization just to save money.
You find the middle ground.
Right. The data gave a fascinating example of this, Honesdale, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's a very small, highly affordable town, but it happens to have a large, well-funded hospital system that services the entire surrounding county.
Oh, that makes total sense. So you get the cheap real estate, but you aren't in a medical desert.
Exactly. Albuquerque, New Mexico is another perfect example. You can live in the surrounding suburbs where the cost of living index drops significantly, mm-hmm. giving you that cheaper housing and lower tax burden. But you are still within a 20-minute drive of a major metropolitan medical center.
So you are essentially anchoring yourself to the infrastructure of a city without paying the city's premium cover charge.
Anchoring to the infrastructure. That is exactly it.
That is brilliant, because if you don't find those stable hubs, you leave yourself completely exposed to the hidden budget destroyers. And I really want to dig into this next segment because a perfectly planned, you know, spreadsheet-approved retirement can turn into an absolute financial nightmare if you don't anticipate the modern insurance crisis.
Oh, the insurance market is fundamentally redrawing the map of where Americans can afford to age.
Let's talk about Florida.
Florida has been the traditional, undisputed retirement haven since the 1950s. No state income tax, gorgeous beaches, year-round sunshine. It was the dream.
But right now, retirees are actively fleeing Florida.
They are.
Homeowners insurance has surged so violently due to extreme weather and hurricane risks that it is pricing fixed income residents completely out of their own homes.
And it's important to understand the actual mechanism here. It isn't just local Florida insurance agents deciding to be greedy.
Right.
The global reinsurance market, the massive companies that essentially insure the insurance companies, they have realized that the climate risk in coastal Florida is becoming mathematically unviable.
So they are pulling their capital out.
Exactly. Which forces state-backed insurers to take on massive liabilities, which then causes premiums to skyrocket by thousands of dollars a year.
And that dynamic has created a completely new demographic trend. Demographers are actually calling them halfbacks.
Halfbacks. It is a perfect term for what is happening.
It really is. People who spent their entire careers in New York or New Jersey moved all the way down south to Florida to retire.
Right.
They got hit by these astronomical $10,000 a year insurance premiums and devastating storms, and they realized they couldn't afford the very paradise they had saved for all those years.
So instead of moving all the way back to the expensive Northeast, they move halfway back up the coast.
Exactly. They are settling in places like South Carolina, Tennessee, or Virginia to escape the chaos of the Florida insurance collapse while still avoiding the brutal winters and high taxes of New York.
And it's not just Florida. Louisiana is seeing the exact same massive spikes for identical weather-related reasons.
It's a huge trap.
But property insurance is just one half of the trap. We also have to talk about the terrifying reality of modern healthcare premiums.
Oh, man, yeah.
We are seeing scenarios where retirees are paying premiums of over $1,000 a month just to remain underinsured.
Let that sink in. You are paying $12,000 a year, essentially, as an entrance fee, before your deductible even kicks in, before you pay a single copay at the pharmacy.
It's wild. We are reaching a point where people are literally more afraid of the medical bill than the illness itself.
And when you are on a fixed income, that fear fundamentally changes your behavior, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You start skipping preventative screenings to save money. You cut pills in half to make prescriptions last longer. It is a vicious cycle where the effort to save your financial health ends up completely destroying your physical health.
Which makes the tax strategies we touched on earlier even more critical. I mean, a lot of people try to offset these massive insurance costs by explicitly hunting down states with no state income tax.
Right. They look at the list. Nevada, South Dakota, Wyoming, Washington, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Alaska, and New Hampshire.
And if you can avoid giving the state 5% to 8% of your retirement withdrawals every single year, that is a huge win for your purchasing power.
It is. But you have to be hyper aware of how those states make up for the lost revenue. Because trust me, governments always get their money somehow.
Let's talk about Texas as an example, because it is the classic bait and switch.
Well, Texas is a perfect example of this.
Texas aggressively advertises its lack of a state income tax to draw people in.
Yeah.
You move there thinking you are saving thousands of dollars.
Okay.
But because there is no income tax, local municipalities rely heavily on property taxes to fund schools and emergency services. So as hundreds of thousands of people move to Texas and property values artificially inflate, the county appraises your house at a massive premium.
And suddenly your property tax bill doubles in 3 years.
Exactly. You get taxed entirely out of your own home.
And then look at Nevada. Nevada is incredibly tax friendly. But outside of Las Vegas and Reno, the state is an expansive rural medical desert.
Right.
The data is incredibly stark on this. If you choose to retire in Nevada for the tax benefits, you absolutely must anchor yourself near Vegas or Reno. If you buy a cheap house deep in the Nevada desert and experience a medical emergency, you are entirely on your own.
So if you are listening to this right now, whether you are 35 and trying to build wealth or 65 and trying to protect it, you have to ask yourself what trade-off you are most willing to make.
That's the million-dollar question.
Would you be willing to trade the bustling energy of a coastal city or the warmth of a Florida beach for a quiet, incredibly stable town in Kansas or Nebraska, where the cost of living index is safely under 90, just to keep your savings intact and your stress levels low.
Are you willing to give up the ocean views for a predictable, boring budget? Because that is the very real choice facing millions of people right now.
It is the ultimate trade-off, and I think that perfectly synthesizes what we've been exploring today in this deep dive.
I agree. We have really mapped out the modern American financial minefield. It starts with the sheer mathematical struggle of 30-somethings trying to survive a structural deficit, and it ends with the incredibly defensive survival strategies of retirees trying to protect whatever wealth they manage to accumulate.
So, bringing it all together, the ultimate takeaway from all these sources is that actual affordability is not just the sticker price of a house on Zillow.
No, not at all.
Affordability is a three-part equation. It is your localized purchasing power, plus your daily lifestyle costs, plus your access to sustainable healthcare.
Exactly. You can choose the elite medical infrastructure of Massachusetts and watch your savings bleed out through mandatory property taxes. Or you can choose the ultra-cheap housing of Mississippi and take a massive, potentially fatal risk with your health.
The smartest, most defensive play in 2026 is finding a stable, predictable regional hub.
Your dollar fundamentally changes its value the second your moving truck crosses state lines.
It really does. You have to interrogate the hidden costs before you decide where that truck is going.
You know, I'd like to leave everyone with a final sort of lingering thought to explore on their own.
Let's hear it.
We've heavily discussed how extreme weather events and collapsing reinsurance markets are driving up costs in historically cheap southern and coastal retirement havens.
Right. The Florida halfbacks.
Exactly. So as places like coastal Florida or Louisiana become functionally uninsurable, or at least far too volatile for a fixed income, where does the migration go next?
That's a great question.
Will the next generation's ultimate retirement destinations be the currently overlooked climate-stable states in the upper Midwest or the Rust Belt?
Oh, wow.
Think about it. They offer highly affordable housing, existing legacy infrastructure, and zero threat of hurricanes. Could Michigan and Ohio become the new Florida over the next 20 years?
That is a brilliant point to end on. Trading the palm trees of Miami for the snowy but highly predictable driveways of the Rust Belt.
It's entirely possible.
It just goes to show that the retirement finish line we talked about at the very beginning isn't just moving further away in time, it might be moving to an entirely different part of the map altogether. Keep questioning the numbers behind your daily life, everyone. Dig into the real mechanics of where your money goes.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.